Take a chance. Amy and I have been dancing around on the desks here because we're on our own, so we can do anything we like, and that's why we're playing ABBA and we're celebrating the music of ABBA. Oh, gee, that takes me back to my... I used to dance to that one at the Prince of Wales Hotel in Melbourne at a club called Pokies with my high-heeled Cuban Spanish-style tan-stitched boots, disco boots, until one night the heel snapped, but that's another story. Graham Reed is the director of abbamail.com, which is a worldwide ABBA fan website. But, well, his pedigree goes much further back than that. In fact, at one time he ran the original Australian fan club in the 70s, and he joins me this evening. Hi, Graham.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
You don't sound old enough to have started the Australian ABBA fan club in the 70s.
Oh, believe me, I was. I started it when I was 15 years old.
What is it about ABBA?
Well, for me, I mean, it wasn't just the music, it was the whole image, the costumes, the exoticness, the fact that they came from Sweden, which back then we didn't have like lots of international travel and internet and all that, so it was all really exotic, and it was completely different than anything else that was being shown on TV or heard on radio back then.
And of course, we broke ABBA, didn't we? Like big,
yeah,
ABBA broke here, the biggest.
Yeah, we did, because they won the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo, which was a hit everywhere. But then after that, England, which would have been their main market, just didn't want to know about them. The follow-up single bombed, and then something else bombed, and it really seemed to be all over for them internationally until the Mamma Mia thing started happening with Sounds Unlimited and Countdown.
That's right, because it was just a film clip from the album, wasn't it? But it wasn't even a single.
No, there were four. They made Lasse Hallström, the famous director who did all their film clips, made four videos, even though they were shot on 16mm film, we call them videos. And Mamma Mia was just one of them. They thought it was a strong track, but there was never any intention of it being a single. In fact, they'd already had like three singles from the album at that stage, and it was really only the sort of manic interest from Australia that forced them to release it as a single.
That's right. It was a monster that I remember back then very vividly. It was a monster that Molly Meldrum almost regretted unleashing. Yeah, because remember when Fernando reached its 15th week at number one, they'd stopped playing it weeks before as the number one song.
And John Paul Young, was dressed up as Zanetta and miming to Fernando because they just got sick of doing the same thing week after week after week.
Well, you see, Graham, I've got to declare my interest in ABBA. I have all 40 ABBA singles. Most of them are in picture sleeves.
That's what I call obsessed.
I loved them. I did love them. I must admit, there was something about them that sort of crossed over. Because when you're in your mid-teens, you're still a child, but you're growing up. And then, of course, they went disco as I was hitting the clubs.
Yeah.
And that's what Take a Chance reflects, that when they sort of went a bit disco.
Yeah.
Did you meet any of them?
Yeah. I was living in Adelaide at the time, and I got to, because I ran the fan club, I got to go to the hotel. The next day, it was 9th of March 1977, I got to go into the hotel room and meet Bjorn and Agnetta. They were watching the Mike Walsh show, actually, when I walked in. That's how old it is.
That's too fabulous.
And I had a look around, and, their bed was there, and all the sheets were kind of messed up. And, we know that Christian, their second child, was conceived during that tour. So I thought, I wonder if it was that night before.
That's fantastic.
I went to their hotel room.
That's like John and Yoko in Amsterdam having a bed in, isn't it?
Just about, yeah.
I wonder what was on. They were probably watching Mike Walsh trying to work out what Jeannie Little was saying.
Yeah, probably.
And were they nice?
Really, really nice, yeah. Very, very tired. I mean, Agnetta had humongous bags under her eyes. I've never seen any bags under her eyes before or since. They're quite that big. They're really, really tired. But, yeah, incredibly friendly and, polite, shook hands, got a kiss, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was really good.
Did you manage to get your face... Because, after all these years, I still haven't seen the film, ABBA the Movie, which was shot while they were on tour in Australia, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Is it on DVD yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Came out last year, and it's... you can get it in a double disc edition. It's all been remastered, and there's another interview with Bjorn and Benny and Lasse Hallström, the director of it. So, yeah, no, it came out last year. It was really big.
And among the... Are there lots of good extras? Like, for example, there's probably the episode of the Mike Walsh show that they were watching in the hotel room.
No.
That's what I'd like.
The crazy thing is that there was about 50 hours extra footage that was shot while they were here. But, you know, when they did the cut of the movie and all that, no one back then sort of realised that nostalgia was going to be so huge, so it all got trashed. So there's no kind of, you know, additional, like, outtakes or that kind of stuff because all the film was trashed.
Did you manage to get yourself into the film?
No, actually, it's a really funny story because they, in the Adelaide concert, like a lot of the others, the film crew would come around with a camera and point it at the audience and, you know, to get the reaction and all that. But a couple of times on stage, the movie camera actually was right in front of Agnetha and Frida, and I was really pissed off by it. So when the camera started pointing towards me, I just sat there, folded my arms, and made out I was having a rotten time.
Oh, no!
Because I was so angry that, you know, I thought, God, this is my one chance to see ABBA, and I've got this bloody movie camera right in front of me.
You cut off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly, exactly.
You see, you're older and wiser now.
Yeah.
Oh, Graham. Now, tell me about this museum an ABBA museum that's opening in Stockholm. Has this got the group's official endorsement?
It has. Basically, what's happened is Benny's got a hotel in Stockholm called Rival Hotel, which is like a really upmarket hotel and sort of jazz lounge underneath. And when he was opening that, a couple of the people that work with him on the publicity of it had this idea to do an ABBA museum. And because they already had the relationship with Benny, it got the go-ahead. So what they've done is announced the project, and they're going to get private investment to fund it. And ABBA themselves will donate like costumes and, you know, rare material and that kind of stuff. But it'll all be, financially they won't have any involvement, but it does have their sort of like stamp of approval.
Apparently it was inspired by the Beatles Museum in Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing, because I remember, like, you know, many years ago in the 90s going to Liverpool, and like there's a whole section of town that's just been completely redone, you know, as like a little Beatles mini town. Mm. All the streets have been renamed.
But the Beatles Museum's on the wharf, isn't it? It's on the docks.
Yeah, that's only one part of it.
Because like, I thought it was a bit tatty, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but that's only one part of it. The rest of it, like, you know, right in the middle of Liverpool, you've got this whole section of the city that's dedicated to Beatles tourism. Plus, there's a daily bus tour that you get from the tourist centre that takes you around to all these places like Penny Lane and all that.
But Strawberry Fields.
Yeah, there's nothing like that at all. So, I mean, hundreds go and have been going for many years. ABBA fans, you know, who are in the know have gone and made the pilgrimage to Stockholm. But the thing is, unless you know, like, what to look for and, you know, what it's all about, you've got no hope, because the Stockholm tourist information, nothing about ABBA, Stockholm government, nothing about ABBA City Council. It's like, when you go there, it's like ABBA just never happened.
So all these ABBA fans wandering aimlessly, dazed and confused.
Yeah, I mean, you really have to do your research and be involved with, like, fan organisations and, you know, do your research on the internet. Otherwise, you'd literally not have any idea that there was this group called ABBA and they came from Sweden.
I tell you what, the internet, I'm speaking with Graham Reid, who's the director of abbamail.com, which is a worldwide ABBA fan website. And, Graham, what did fans do before the internet to pool all their resources and information and talk to each other obsessively about their favourite group?
Do you remember an old concept called pen pals?
I used to have some.
Yes, where people would, you know, would see, you know, each other's names and addresses in like, you know, amateur sort of fan magazines, and they would write to each other from around the world. So that's how all these kind of networks sort of built up. People were writing from Australia to Sweden, from Sweden to America, America to the UK. And yeah, it was all done with pen and paper, and that's how people kept in touch.
Wow. So what does an ABBA fan have to do when they're in Stockholm? Until the museum opens, what can you do?
A couple of things. If you're really, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who call themselves ABBA fans that have a copy of ABBA Gold and they've seen Mamma Mia once. I mean, to me, that doesn't make you an ABBA fan. That just makes you like jumping on the sort of like whatever bandwagon. If you're a really serious hardcore ABBA fan, there's a few things you want to do. Firstly, you want to go and see ABBA's headquarters in the 70s, which is at Baldersgarten 1. It's like a four-story sort of classic Swedish building where all the decisions were made, all the meetings were held back in the 70s. That's still there. You've got to go and see that. Mm. Their recording studios, Polar Studios, which unfortunately recently was closed down. I think it's been converted into a gym or something like that.
No.
But the actual building and the shell is still there. You definitely want to do that. And walking through the old town, Gamlestaden, so many iconic ABBA photographs that we've known over the years.
And the film clips?
Shot, Yeah, they're all shot in and around Stockholm. When you go through the old town, there's a square there, like right in the middle of the old town, and you just freak out if you're a fan because you think, oh my God, this is where Frida was standing with her fur coat, and this is.
And of course, it hasn't changed because Stockholm's so beautiful and historic.
Yeah, that part of it. So much of it, when you're walking around Stockholm, so much of it you'll see, and you, if you're a fan, you'll go, oh my God, that cover was filmed, that shot there, or that film clip, they used that part of, you know, whatever there. So, yeah, you have to do a bit of research before you go, but there actually is a lot there that you can relate to if you do a bit of research.
Now, the museum's due to open in 2008, so we've got a little while to get. So, are you going to go for the opening?
No, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to go. I mean, it's not. I've been to Stockholm, I think, 10 times in the last sort of 12 years. So it would have to be something more monumental than just the museum opening, like, you know, maybe all four of them getting back together or something for an appearance.
That's never going to happen, though, is it?
No, it's never going to happen.
They got offered $10 million or something.
They got offered, well, actually, it's a funny story. They actually got offered 1 billion kroner, which is about 200 million Australian dollars. But when it got translated, it suddenly became ABBA got offered 1 billion American dollars to get back together. And that's the story that's gone around the world. But it was actually 1 billion kroner, which is 200 million Australian dollars. And they had a meeting and decided that they didn't want to do 100 concerts around the world to get the money and, passed on it. But even the closest we've ever got was 2005, the Swedish premiere of Mamma Mia. They did a Swedish language version of it in Stockholm, and all four showed up, but they all made sure that they all arrived separately so they couldn't be actually photographed together.
Oh, dear, what spoil sports. Oh, well, listen, we'll just have to put up with the records, the film clips, the DVDs, and Bjorn again.
Absolutely.
Graham Reid, thank you so much. This is what I'm playing now for you. This is one of my favourites.
Knowing you. 1976, yeah.
Thanks, Graham.
Okay.
All the best.
Bye.